Welcome to Better Bachelor. This is Joker with a face for radio and a voice for print. Thank you for all the quick responders to my little survey. If you haven't seen it over on my community tab, I put up if you enjoy my shocking or not. And the reason why I asked is not so much that I care that badly about those that don't like me to do it, but if it was an issue where I did it into the microphone and it was blowing out people's eardrums when they were wearing earbuds, that's something I should know. It doesn't mean I necessarily wouldn't do it anymore, but it means I wouldn't do it as often, or I'd be a little bit more careful about zapping your ears with it and I'd pull my mouth away or something. But since most of you seem to really love it, then I'm going to keep on keeping on because I enjoy doing it. And it is what it is. So, as many of us have been in relationships before, myself included, and I did a lot of like self analysis over this. I've been in relationships where and all of them end. I mean, all of us that are sitting here that are bachelors, we can all say, well, one of them ended, all of them ended, some of them have ended, or for some of you younger gentlemen that have not dated yet, none of them have ended. You're 0 for 0. But the rest of us are 0-1, 0-7, 0-423.5. That's a fun story that I'll tell you about sometime. But we all lost. We lost somebody that we cared about. And we do that self-reflection. We can say, you know, I don't know. Like everything I think about, I did right. Well, here, Joe Rogan is interviewing Miriam Nakamoto. And she is a Thai boxing champion. So obviously, you know, as far as fighting goes, she knows her thing. And she was dating somebody that was in the UFC as an MMA fighter. Now you can say to yourself, okay, she's a fighter. So that means she's going to, obviously she probably isn't into a guy that's weaker than she is or not as accomplished. No girl wants, or woman, wants to date a guy they can feel like they can beat up. They want to feel protected, right? So I've got a small snippet that I'm going to play. It's about a minute, 20 seconds or so of her relationship with her boyfriend. So let me get this recording and we'll take a listen. All right. So here's Miriam Nakamoto on Joe Rogan's podcast on his podcast. And this is what she has to say about the situation.
That's right.
So he's a great boyfriend, but we went out of country. We fought on the same card. He fought the day before me. I fought the next day. During the fight, he almost gets knocked out. As this guy is mauling him, he goes like this. What do you think I was thinking?
Not good thoughts.
The boyfriend.
My boyfriend was,
like this.
Yeah, you didn't like it.
Fuck no. Yeah.
Did it turn you off?
Oh my God, so much.
Whoa.
I was like, dude, you're getting fucked up. And as you're falling to the canvas, you still need to go fuck you.
Wow.
You're like, fuck you. Like that.
So the way he was getting beaten was fucking with you.
Yeah.
It wasn't just that he was getting beaten.
I don't care. I don't know.
That he was like shying.
I don't care.
Away.
Yeah. I don't care. If
he wasn't digging in.
You're not
going to.
Yeah. Right. Like, you got to fucking, like, take that shit.
Take it.
Yeah. Like you know, like a champ or like a fighter.
Right.
Yeah. You can't be like.
Wow.
That was, ugh. Sorry.
Was that the
and
beginning of the end?
Yeah.
That was
and he
tap,
was a
tap,
great
tap, first
boyfriend.
Couple of nails.
He was great.
Tap, 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 tap.
Yes, it was.
Tap, tap, tap.
It was.
Maybe sometimes it's like that's the problem. It's like the balance. The ones who are not going to be great boyfriends are the ones that are going to turn you on because they're ruthless.
So it goes on a little bit more. I'll put a link down in the comments below. But you kind of see the point here. To be a UFC fighter, you have to be the best MMA fighter in the world. And because he blocked, or either that, or as he was trying to fend off the other guy, he kind of straight-armed, turned his head away, and looked a little weak in that moment. She turned into the Sahara Desert. That was it. That's all it took. That was the beginning of the end. Doesn't matter that he was super tough, obviously being in the UFC. Doesn't even matter if he gets beaten. It's the fact for that few couple seconds he looked a little weak, or I don't know specifically what it was about the straight arm, like, but it he didn't go down like a man. And that's all it took, and it was over. But you heard her say it twice. He was a great guy. But we often say it's not about if he was a great guy. And you know what? I've noticed this as I've dated, and I'm sure a lot of you have noticed this as you've dated, is that you can be the greatest guy, but she runs off with the troublemaker. She runs off with the bad boy. You can be the most attentive, the most caring, the most wonderful, but she leaves. And I've got another article that I'm going to read. And it's about a something similar, comes from a forum. But what we talk about here is the minute that you love, the minute that you care for a woman, the minute that you express your feelings to her and that she feels that she has the upper hand, or that you're caught, that you're hers, and she doesn't have to chase you, and she doesn't have to try for you anymore, and you're not challenging. And it's not necessarily even that you have to be challenging overtly. I've always expressed it kind of like a kitten playing with a string. Is that if you take a string and the cat's down on the ground and you wave it over your head, the cat will look and you'll see its eyes follow and maybe it shakes its head a little bit, but it doesn't move. If you take the string and you ball it up and throw it in the cat's face, it may, you know, pick it up and kind of bat it with its paws a little bit, but it'll walk away from it. But if you take that string and you put it on furniture, a couch or something, or even you pull it through your fingers, something to where it's disappearing and the cat can't see where it's going. And I've done this with I've had cats over the years, and I've done this with my cats dozens and hundreds of times. Cat will be all the way across the other room, and I'll just take a string bright enough that the cat would notice it, and I might be 20 feet away. And if you just put it where it's behind something, so where the string's out here and you're just kind of pulling it behind something, and you nice and slow pull it away, that cat will be staring at that thing and staring, and right before or right after that little piece of fabric, whoop, disappears from its sight, next thing you know, it's racing over and it's pouncing and it's looking around for that string. Why? Because it's mysterious. It's, remember the expression, curiosity killed the cat, right? It's mysterious. It's interesting. It's tantalizing. It's surprising. It's unique. And women need a little bit of that in their lives at all times. They need a little bit of that edge, that excitement, the tingles, which I've talked about before. It's always, they need to know, I'm not sure what's going on. It's exciting. They want to be able, when they sit and think about their guy, they don't want to say, well, right now he's probably home. Maybe he's getting dinner ready. Maybe he's cooking chicken for the evening, and I'll get home, and then we'll do this, and then we'll do this, and then we'll, you know, I'll starfish for him later, and then we'll go to bed, and it's like that day after day after day. Guys can be okay with that because we have hobbies, we have other things that interest us, we have other things to be our excitement. For me, it was motorcycle riding. It's skiing. It's doing a bunch of adventurous things. But for women, they don't have as many hobbies. Not all of them. Some of them have some very interesting hobbies. But for a good majority of them, when they're in a relationship, they need that tease. They need that excitement. They need that drawn out. And here's a great example of it. I'm going to read you a quick story. This isn't too long here, if I can find it. Here it is. Let me get the size larger since I don't have my contacts in. So a woman writes to and this is an advice column. And now listen to this from the guy's point of view. Again, the guy did everything right, but there was something missing. And every time, again, the waving the string up above your head, that's the guy that's just unobtainable, doesn't pay attention to her, shows no interest. She tries flirting, no interest. There's just nothing there. It doesn't mean she's not like looking at him saying, boy, that might be interesting. But there's no draw there, so it's unobtainable. But read through this and see if you can see what the guy did wrong here. She says, I broke up with my boyfriend a year ago. I broke up with my boyfriend of a year a few weeks ago. He is such a great guy. Same thing that other woman said about her guy. And he was so wonderful to me, but I just felt that something was missing. I would see other couples being affectionate towards each other or watch my friends get married, and I felt sad because I wanted to feel what they felt, and I just knew this wasn't it. We had a lot in common, had a lot of fun together, and all my friends and family loved him, but I didn't feel excited for a future together, and I felt bad I couldn't be as committed to him as he was to me. See that? She felt like she was the more important and she was the more valuable person in the relationship. When a man says, I will do anything for you, I'll go to the end of the world for you, I take a bullet for you, I love you, you are wonderful, you are my everything, every one of those words makes him subservient to her. He's just lowering his own value every moment. And even though she hasn't moved, all he's doing with each one of those statements is saying she's better than him and better than him and better than him and better than him. Now reverse it. And this has happened to me in my relationships where it's pretty interesting because the ones that I found where women would come out and say, I love you, even though I'd never really shown any emotional interest in anything like that, was the ones where I was take it or leave it. And it wasn't take it or leave it because I was acting. It was just because I was like, I'm not in a place where I really want to be in a serious relationship. Yeah, we've kind of been friends with, you know, side bennies for a little while. I got something in my eye, so if you see me picking at it here, I don't know what's in there, but we've had like a few months of being together, but I'm in a place where it's like, look, we're having our fun, we're enjoying time together, but if you want to go do your thing, go do your thing. I'm not going to stop you. I got plenty of other things going on in my life. Have I elevated myself? No. All I've said to her is, well, go do your thing. I don't need you. I'm happy with myself. So on and so, but it's not pushing, it's not putting her down. It's just saying, I'm fine without you. Like, it's cool that you want to hang out with me and we have a great time together. And, it is what it is. And every time I had those feelings towards someone in the relationship, they would be the ones crying and bawling when it all ended, or they were the ones saying that they loved me. And again, this is not bragging. This is just understanding how the relationships go, because there were times I was the one crying when my first couple relationships went bad. I was the guy in that position because I would have done anything for them, see? But when I just started getting to the point where I'm like, it's I'm happy by myself. You are an addition to my life. But if you go away, my life is still full. I'm fine. I'm 100%. So you do you. Those were the ones that always seemed to love me more and when I didn't even have anything. Why? Because I wasn't putting myself under her. I was exclaiming that I was fine either way. And that to many women will put you in a superior position. Now this doesn't, even if you, okay, so what I'm trying to say is, let's say you do love a woman, you do care for her. You cannot fall all over yourself for her and fawn for her and buy her gifts and lavish and so on and so forth. The problem is you need to maintain yourself. You need to keep yourself in check. You need to understand that if you start doing this, that it's not going to go well for you. It just, you know, it just doesn't work. So let me continue on this article here. Let's see. We had a lot in common. Had a lot of fun together. All my friends, family, love him. I read that part. But I didn't feel excited, so on and so forth. I gave it time and had been wrestling with myself over several months. Now I'm a few weeks out. I feel like why couldn't I have just been happy with him? I really don't know if I ever will find another guy who treats me as well as him, and I really wanted to be happy with him. He's the type of guy I should feel thrilled to marry, and I know he would be an amazing husband and father, but I just knew it wasn't fair to him that I wasn't feeling it 100%. Now, what would have made her feel that little extra push? It would have been if he challenged her. It would have been if he, if she gave him a hard time of some, like if she's in wrong, and this is something I made mistakes on this too when I was younger, fellas. If I was wrong about something and we had an argument or whatever, and we went our separate ways, I don't like uncomfort. I don't like people mad at each other. At least I didn't then. Now I'm just like, whatever. But I didn't like the tension that created. And so what I would do is, after a few hours, I'd go back in and say, look, reason why I got upset, blah, 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 try to explain, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I'm sorry. Let's just kind of get past this, right? And that was me lowering myself and coming to her. That was my mistake. And I've learned from that. But even if you're in a good relationship, a healthy relationship, if it's her fault and she decides to get mad or something goes wrong, you stick to your guns. You understand, man, this is not me. This is on you. And if she wants to be mad and she tells you to sleep on the couch, which actually happened to my ex-wife one time. We got in a fight. She told me to sleep on the couch. And rather than argue, because I said, why don't you go sleep on the couch? And we got, finally I said, you know what? Fine, I will. I went down, made up the couch, so on and so forth, slept, watched TV, things like that. And within a couple of days, everything kind of got made up. But I wasn't the one that apologized. And that night, we went up to bed, fooled around, and then I went back down to the couch. And she came down at about 2, because she dozed off, came back down to the couch. And she came down around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. She said, what are you doing down here? I woke up and you're not in bed. And I said, you know, the couch is actually surprisingly comfortable, and I kind of like falling asleep to the TV, so I might try this for a couple nights. And I did it for a couple nights, and then I went up to the bed. But you know something? She never threatened me with that couch again. So, you know, when something goes wrong in a relationship, you got to stick to your guns. You have to have your self-confidence. You have to have your pride. You have to have your self-worth. And if you give that up, which it sounds like this guy may have, I don't know, but that might have been that 10, 20%, even though she said I loved him, it wasn't 100%. There was something missing. And what that was the guy maintaining that he had enough, he valued himself and self enough to maintain his frame and his positioning. She says, breaking up with him, the hardest thing I've ever done, and he is devastated. The guilt of hurting him is really hard to deal with. See, he's devastated. Now, what he should have done is, if this does happen, and again, I think this mentions it a little bit more further on, so if I hit it again, but if a girl breaks up with you, and if you're hurting inside and everything, and things have not gone so well, the best way to handle it is you say, all right, man, if that's, if that's the way you see things, then all right, cool, it is what it is. Best of luck. Walk out to your car. Don't squeal the tires. Just get in your car and drive off. And then you block her on the phone, pull around the corner, go down to your house, and if you need to, cry your eyes out. Have a fit. Bang the steering wheel, rage at the heavens, whatever you got to do. But you don't do it in front of her. You don't do it to friends. You don't do it to anybody. You maintain your control of yourself. That's the best and the only way to handle it. Because crying to her or, oh, I'm so hurt, I can't believe you. No. Logically, I know that I did the right thing. I know that breaking up with him now will prevent more pain for both of us in the future. As much as I wanted to be happy in a relationship, I just wasn't. I started feeling claustrophobic and wanting freedom. That means, again, that she felt like she had more value in the relationship. He may have been too clingy, and he didn't catch on to that vibe. You know, she might have said, I'm just going to do my own thing this weekend, and he said, whatever, and found a way to maybe spend time with her. He didn't give her her space. But that also comes with a drawback that if you give them too much space, you never know who they're fooling around with and doing what behind your back, too. So I started feeling, okay, I also was moving for grad school and obviously needed to focus on that. Going to grad school. Now, I don't know his education, but grad school has a lot of grad students that are guys. That also may have been hypergamy coming in and saying, hey, there may be more valuable men out there. I'd like to make sure I'm singled and available for those guys. He said he would have been willing to move with me. He wanted to, but I felt that I couldn't, in good conscience, uproot him and move him to a new city when I was feeling so uncertain and unenthusiastic about our relationship. He would have given up everything for her. Nah, see, he was too into her and not the other way around. Illogically, I find myself regretting that I ever broke it off with him, even though I actually felt empowered and really proud of myself immediately after, because it took me a while to find the courage to do it, and it was so hard. So what she's saying here is, illogically, I find myself regretting that I ever broke it off with him, even though I actually felt empowered. What she's thinking now is, okay, what if I don't find as good a guy? So this is the type of guy, this boyfriend, that she slides to the back burner, and she tries to keep on low, while she has her fun in college, maybe sees if there's a better guy, maybe she has her fun, she goes off and find a job, things don't happen, years go by, and then this is the, let me go see, I haven't said hi to him in 7 years. Hey, stranger, how are you? Or, hey, what have you been up to? See you, blah, blah, blah. We've seen this. I've seen this. I've gotten messages on my phone. I'm on LinkedIn. I do it for business. But I do have a LinkedIn Pro, and I can look at everybody that looked at my profile. I've had 7 or 8 girls that I've dated before that know my name and could certainly easily look me up on LinkedIn that have looked at my profile. I don't go on LinkedIn but maybe once a year because I haven't worked in like 3 years and I've just been traveling. But I got some messages that I had my profile was being reviewed for job applicant. So I went and I looked through and I did have some job offers. But I also had like 6 or 7 exes that had checked me out. I'm not on Facebook. They don't know where to find me. I'm not on social media other than my Instagram, which is under The Unknown Adventure. It's not even my name. So the only place they can find me is on LinkedIn. So yeah, they're looking me up. And these are girls anywhere from 3 to high school that have looked me up. Why? I was a back burner guy. I treated them well. I was good to them. But I wasn't that exciting guy. I was, well, I really like you and I really care for you, right? So, he's an awesome guy and was my closest friend for close to a year, so having him cut me out of his life really hurt. Our breakup was not hostile at all. It was really amicable, but we aren't speaking now because he's really sad. We tried to be friends for a few weeks because he said it was important to him. Bad move. We talked and hung out once as friends, and he said he was happy to see me, or he was happy to see that he hadn't lost me as a friend, but the next week he told me that he thought it was best if we didn't talk anymore so that he could move on. That was the right move. And I hope a little late, that should have been the conversation as you're breaking up, saying, hey, I wish you all the best of luck, but I don't think we should talk anymore. I've got enough friends. I don't need more friends. And, you know, if we're not dating anymore, then we're done. So she says, that really hurt, and I cried for several days after that, though, of course, I understood. See, that safety net of hers went away. And now she's back out on the tightrope, and she didn't have a safety net anymore. So now she's on her own. She will find another guy, but will he be as good? She wanted to keep him as the safety net until she found something better. Monkey branching, right? I also wished I had said something more when he said to me via Facebook chat, like, I understand and I'll be here if you want to talk in the future or something, but I was kind of taken aback, so all I said was, okay, bye. I knew that was something that might happen when I broke up with him. I was just so surprised by the timing, and it's why it hurt so much. I guess in retrospect, our breakup had been kind of too easy up to that point. It's only been a week since this happened, but now I really miss having him in my life as a friend and really regret not saying more during our last conversation. Notice that last sentence there. Now, she misses him terribly because she's used to him, but she says, I really miss having him in my life as a friend. Do you want to be that guy? The secondhand guy that's her safety net? No, that's why you move on. And if you I see so many YouTube videos and so many forums and posts out there of how to get your girlfriend back and or ex-girlfriend back in 10 easy steps, or do these things to reignite your man. If it's gone, it's gone. Just move on. Look, it's a lot easier if you take a bunch of wood and put it in a pile and start a campfire. That wood's dry. You can set it up just right. It's easy to get going. But if you take a bucket of water and pour it on that fire and put it out, it's a whole lot harder to get that damp wood going again. Just cut your losses and move on. I realize now that for me, our relationship was more of a close friendship than romantic. There it is. By the end of our relationship, I felt like I had no desire to be physical most nights, and I couldn't really reciprocate when he said, I love you, both of which made me feel terrible. See, he was putting in all the effort. If his radar was good, he could have just called it quits before she did. And then when she says, what's going on? You say, we weren't really fooling around much anymore. You know, you didn't really seem into it. So I'm just going to go. I'm just going to bounce. I got better things to do. And even if that's not true and it hurts you in your core, it's better to do that at least to save face. Now, in that case, maybe she comes around and realizes what she might be losing and comes back. But you've got to keep that string dangling. You can't just be there like a dead fish. I would love to hear from anyone who's been so okay. So, you know, she asks for more advice. So there we go, guys. You know, this shows you a really good example of the first fighter, the MMA fighter. He didn't do anything wrong. He just got caught in an awkward position when he was fighting. She saw it and it was just done. And in a case like that, good luck to her. I mean, if she's going to be that selective to where he looked weak for a couple seconds while you're in an MMA fight, maybe getting your getting some punches and being close to a knockout or something like that, you can't call that. Or maybe he did get the cold knockout where you kind of stiffen up like that. You see boxers do that all the time. That's just an automatic response from being KO'd. But if that's her mindset on this, there's nothing that guy can do. Being a UFC MMA fighter, he's not going to have a problem finding someone that's probably reasonable. But for this young lady, it's easy to say this is her fault and she walked away from a great guy, that young man didn't understand that he lowered himself and he became less than he should have by putting her up on such a high pedestal that she felt he was above him. And in a case like this, too many times as guys, we say, and I've said this too, because I know there's many, many relationships I had when I was younger where something like this would happen. And I always said, well, you'll come back around, or I thought to myself, she'll come back around once she realizes how great I am. Some of them did, some of them didn't. I never took any of them back. But the truth of it is, it was really my fault for not standing up for myself, for not knowing my own value, and for lowering myself for somebody because I wanted things to be okay, and I wanted to make sure she knew how much I liked her. And so rule of thumb here is, I'd say that if you are going to date, and you do happen to date a little bit longer, whether it's semi-casual or a little bit longer than that, know your value, know your worth, know that you bring a lot to the table. And that if she disrespects you or she's not reciprocating the things that you're putting out there, or she stops reciprocating, a lot of times, like, I do this, she does that, and all of a sudden hers starts going away and she stops, a lot of the temptation is to start making up that gap, because that gap is uncomfortable. You know, I'm doing this, she does this, and we're here. It should be kind of this dance together. But if she starts kind of taking off on you, don't rush to fill up that gap, because that gives her the sense that you are not worth what you are, whether that's true or not. If they get that gap starts forming, let it form, let it go, move on. That's why we don't cohabitate. That's why we don't marry. That's why we're not in long-term relationships. So as that gap happens, you can just walk away and not stress about it. It's a lot easier to start a dry campfire than it is to try to light one that's already soaked. Guys, if you'd like to support my work, links are below. Thank you for those that have. And the best way you can support me, like, comment, share. A lot of you have been sharing my content on Facebook and on Reddit. Thank you very much. It does help me out very much, because I think YouTube is kind of not putting my stuff out there on the main pages quite as much, because things are tapering off a little bit in my numbers. But that's okay. That's okay. Just keep sharing it and getting the words out there, and that's what we do. And a great way you can support my channel more than anything else, watch some of my older content. You know, it's all there, and none of it's timely, so any views of that still help my channel and still kind of get the news out there. Guys, I'll leave it there. This is Better Bachelor. I am Joker. And remember, know your value, and don't ever, ever settle when you shouldn't. Make her do the chasing once in a while. ¶¶